Thank you, brother. What an honor it is to be with all of you on this day, this Lord's Day. Later in the sermon, we will go to Acts chapter 8, if you would like to mark your Bibles there. Acts chapter 8. Before Peter said that, he said this: "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." 1 Peter 3 and 15. We've started a series 2 weeks ago. I say 2 weeks ago because last week we had Brother David Sane with us, which is always an honor. But today we're going to continue that series, which is called Ready to Give an Answer. And what we mean by that is that we as Christians should know reasons or answers of biblical proportions that anybody asks us. And we could do that through God's Word tactfully. We could always let our speech be with grace, and it's seasoned with salt, and that we may know ought to answer every man, Colossians 4 and 6. The first question we dealt with is the Church of Christ the only ones going to heaven? And today we're going to deal with this question, or going to discuss it. Do you believe in water salvation? A common question asked by those who are outside of the body of Christ. And there's a reason why it's asked. And unfortunately, we don't know the heart. Sometimes the question is asked sincerely. They don't understand the question or a way to ask the question or how to ask the question. And they're simply seeking truth in the matter. And yet there are also those who will say or accuse those who are in the body of Christ that because we believe and teach what the Bible says about immersion as a part of a plan of salvation, they call that water salvation, or they call it a work of merit. They'll say things, "You believe the power is in the water." Or they'll perceive that we don't believe that, as a matter of fact, the blood of Christ is the cleansing element. And so today we're going to talk about water salvation in the terms of how they use it. And we have 2 points today. And it's listed there in your bulletin if you'd like to follow with me. Point number one, we're going to talk about some aquatic observations. Other times where God uses water, but the emphasis is not in the water, and you're going to see that. The first time that I know of that He uses water is, or one of them at least, is Noah and the flood. We can observe and read the record account of the universal flood, which is located in Genesis chapter 6, and it goes through chapter 8. Just to summarize, we know that God saw the wickedness of man. It was great in the earth, and it grieved the Lord that He had made man, and then He said, "I will destroy every man, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl in the air." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because of God's grace, He warned Noah about the flood, and He provided a way to escape this impending doom, this punishment that will in fact take place. And so what does He do? He gives Noah the blueprint of building an ark. "Noah, this is the ark that I want you to build. You will build it out of gopher wood. These are the dimensions that I want you to build it." And because Noah had followed each instruction meticulously, he didn't compromise. He didn't say, "You know what? I prefer this kind of wood instead of gopher wood. You know, my wife and I, we need a master bedroom. Why don't we just build ourselves our own private room in this ark?" He didn't do that either. Instead, he followed the instructions to a T. He followed God's word. And because he did follow God's blueprint, he and his family were saved from that universal flood. And that's where Peter writes this, recorded in 3, verse 20, "which sometime were disobedient, talking about the world, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while in the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." It says here the people in the ark were saved by water. That is the fact that it's the element that God used. Notice the text did not say that they were saved from water. Those who are outside of the ark, they in fact lost their lives being drowned in that flood. They were lost eternally. Why? Because they died in rebellion. They had an absolute opportunity to be in that ark with that family. Noah, in fact, preached God's word for 120 years. And those people said, "Yeah, right, Noah. Look at you. You've lost your mind. Why are you building this big boat? It's never rained before." But they died in rebellion. But because of the righteousness of Noah and his family, they found grace in God's eyes, and they were saved. They were saved through and by the floodwaters. Well, how so? Because those waters killed the other people. Well, friends, the water sent the disobedient to their eternal doom. The water delivered Noah and his family from the wicked world, which allowed them to arise into a new existence. The water separated Noah in the wicked world. And this is something that I want you to understand and know, that when Noah, when all was said and done and the waters had gone away, when Noah and his family emerged from that ark, they didn't build a shrine, they didn't build an altar, and they didn't dedicate this shrine and altar to the waters of the flood. No, not so. The altar was built to the Lord. It's recorded in Genesis 8, 20 and 21, where it says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, 'I will not gain curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living as I have done.'" No one has ever asked, at least to my knowledge, "Well, Noah, you know what? You believe in ark salvation. Noah, you were saved because you believe in the general flood salvation." That's not so. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord simply because he was righteous. He did that which God told him to do. "Noah, a flood is coming. I need you to do this." And he did it. He heard God's word and he obeyed. And because of that, he was saved by the water. 1 Peter 3 and 20. There's one aquatic observation, but here's another. What about Naaman the leper? That record we can find in 2 Kings chapter 5. We read that Naaman was an honorable, sincere or Syrian military leader. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. He was this big, strong, mighty military man, but he was a leper. And Naaman was told that there is a prophet from God who can recover him from his leprosy. And of course, he would go straight to that place. He was excited to know that he could be cured from this incurable disease called leprosy. Elisha invited Naaman to come, even though there was disapproval. He invited Naaman to come, and Naaman did come. He came with this big, majestic cavalry, if you will. He came with horses. He came with chariots. He stood at the door at the house of Elisha, and he knocked. And this is what happened. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying this, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And this is what Naaman said. Thank you so much for giving the information that I needed to rid of my leprosy. And then he ran to the Jordan River and did a cannonball inside that water. Is that what he did? We read in our scriptures that Naaman was wroth. He was mad. He was angry. Why? First of all, Elisha didn't even come to him. Naaman, I know a prophet of God who can help you rid this leprosy. And so he comes and he plans to meet this prophet. But the prophet sent a messenger. Naaman, with his haughtiness, you know who I am. Didn't even meet Elisha. He sent somebody else to greet him. And then number two, he thought the Jordan River, I could have jumped in the rivers from where I came. I wasted all this time to travel. The Jordan River is dirty and disgusting. The waters where I'm from, they're clean. It makes no sense to me. And also, this is what he wanted. He wanted a grand ceremony. Let's look and observe this majestic, mysterious, miraculous thing. It didn't happen. It didn't happen the way he thought it would happen. And so he was wroth. He was angry and heading home, but this happened. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou have not done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" And to his credit, he listened. He listened. He said, "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God." According to the saying, the man of God. "And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean." 2 Kings 5:13-14. And when he was cleansed of his leprosy, he didn't build some kind of shrine or altar and said, "You know what? As a matter of fact, Jordan's even more clean than the waters from where I was. Because look what the waters of Jordan did. It took away my leprosy." We all just need to move close to Jordan just in case this happens to anybody else. He didn't do that. He didn't attribute the healing to the waters or the muddy banks or anything like that. Instead, this is what he said. He returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Are we seeing a pattern here? Are we seeing a pattern about these aquatic observations? I bring this up not to emphasize water, but I'm bringing it up to emphasize where the power is. That will be point number two. But before we get to that, let's talk about someone else. The blind man in the pool of Siloam. This record or this account can be found located in John chapter 9. The disciples thought, you know, that sin and his physical ailments are related. And they asked, you know, who sinned? Was it him or his parents? He had been born since birth. It's not like he was born with sight and then became blind. No, he was born without sight altogether. He had never seen his mother. He had never seen his father. He never seen the light of day. Of course, Jesus explains to them that neither his sin nor his parents' sin caused him to be blind. But instead, this is a great opportunity to give God the glory. To be a glorious moment for the Heavenly Father. And this was his method. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. And this is what the blind man did. He went his way therefore and washed, and he came seeing. I can't imagine what that day would have been like for him. It's been all darkness his entire life, and then when he just his eyes are open for the first time in his life. Have you ever seen them videos on Facebook where the babies, they put a hearing aid in their ears and they hear their mother for the first time and they light up? There's also ones where the babies are born with visual impairments and they put glasses on them with the straps that will stay on. And you see the smiles on their face when they see their mom, that not blurry anymore. I don't even think that compares to this. But of course, we had a certain group who did not approve of this. They should have. A miracle had just occurred, but the Pharisees, they were not happy. Oh, he did this on the Sabbath. Shame on him. And so this man is on trial. Were you even born blind? They asked his parents. Well, ask him. You know, they feared. They were afraid. Ask him, and then he's defending who? Or what? He didn't say, you know what? Everyone, you all should try this. Just fill your hands up at the pool of Siloam, scrub your face, and see what happens. Look what happened to me. And that's not what happened. The whole time in the trial, he defends Christ. He gives glory and credit to the one who deserves it. He gained his physical and his spiritual sight that day. And he did not attribute that to the waters in Siloam. He worshiped Jesus because he knew that it was Christ who gave him his sight. And no one ever in the history of religion said, you know what? He believes in the pools of Siloam salvation. No one questions that. Everyone knows and sees and reads and observes. Well, Christ obviously gave him his sight. It was God who obviously cleansed Naaman, not the waters themselves. They're simply tools that God used. And I want you to notice the attitudes of the believers in all three of these instances. Because some will say, well, those three instances, yeah, I get your point. I get your point. God used water, but it wasn't the water, it was God. That's exactly my point. So what's this got to do with baptism or quote-unquote water salvation? Again, the attitude of the unbelievers. Let's look at this. Those who did not believe Noah's message, what happened to them? Perished. They died in rebellion. The water is what separated the world from Noah and his family. Friends, those who hear God's word and obey the Lord's command to be immersed, you know what? They're now called out of the world and are sanctified and separated in like manner. That's what the church means. The Greek word, ekklesia, it means the called out ones. And that's why Peter said this, the like figure. Noah was separated from the world, just like that, the like figure whereunto, well, baptism doesn't save anybody, but here it is, black and white, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's the power, the resurrection, not the water itself. There's a New Testament scripture that goes back to Noah and how he was saved and how those who obey the gospel are saved today. Again, what about the unbelievers in the account of Naaman? You know, Naaman himself was an unbeliever. He did not want to obey God's command to go into the Jordan. But just like Naaman today, there are those in the religious world who want a grand, hey, look at me kind of ceremony. In fact, they call baptism an outward showing of an inward grace to prove to everyone, hey, look at me, this is what I've done. We've done nothing. Just like Naaman, when told that baptism is essential to salvation, one gets wroth or angry or upset, defensive even. Friends, that may be somebody in here today in this very room, and I can go ahead and tell you that I empathize with you. Because that's exactly what happened to me. I was mad. At first, I thought somebody was judging me who had no right to do that. But then when you read the truth, I got angry because I had been lied to my entire life and been living that lie. If Naaman wanted to be cleansed from leprosy, what did he have to do? He would have to obey God's command, which was what for him? Dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. Friends, if we want to be cleansed from our sins, we must be immersed or baptized. And how do we know that? We read that in Acts 2 and 38, in Acts 22 and 16. It's how we get our sins remitted. It's how we wash away our sins. That's what the Scripture says. What about those who didn't believe the formerly blind man? They're spiritually blind. The Pharisees thought they were right. They were zealous. They thought they were spiritually right. And with a firm grip, they held on to their traditions. Man-made traditions will save no one. That's what they are. But instead, know this. Use the lamp, the lamp, God's Word, to see and get out of spiritual darkness. So that brings me to number two. Okay? The water is a tool. That's what God said to do in these three instances. He used other things in other situations, but I wanted us to observe that. The water is merely a tool. But now let's discuss the power. In fact, we can relate all of these things to the other steps of salvation. What do I mean by that? We emphasize hearing God's Word. Why? Because the Bible says to Romans 10 and 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. But the power to save is in the one we hear, Christ. Remember in the account of the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus transfigured into a light-like presence. Moses was with him and Elijah was with him, and Peter got so excited. It's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Jesus, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We emphasize God's Word in hearing it because the Scriptures say so. But the power is in the one we hear. Christ, what about faith or belief? We emphasize that too. We emphasize faith, but the power to save is in the one we believe, the Christ.
Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. He also said, and Paul said this, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Well, okay, there it is. All you have to do is believe. But if you read just a few scriptures below, it includes what it means to believe in Christ. Acts 16:33 said, and he took them the same hour of the night, Philippian jailer, by the way. He washed their stripes, repentance, because he's the one that gave him those stripes. And was baptized, he and all his house. Notice that word straightway. Immediately. Not when we have enough people who want to do it and then we have a service and all those people's friends and family want to observe this and watch this and then they can observe and watch one at a time to do so. Friends, that's not what it's about. It's not a, hey, look at me. It's not what about me doing anything. Immediately. That's how I believe on the Lord Jesus. What about repentance? We emphasize that too. Absolutely. Everyone would agree with that. We emphasize repentance because the Scriptures teach that. But the power is in the one who commands repentance, Jesus. Luke 24:46-47, he said to his disciples or apostles, thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem. Friends, that's where the church began. And on that day, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls gladly received the word that they preached and what? Were baptized, Acts 2:47. We emphasize confession, but the power to save is in the one we confess, Christ. And this is where we're going to Acts chapter 8, if you have your Bibles open. Acts chapter 8. And I want you to read with me, and it explains itself. I really don't have to say anything. But I will point a few things out here. Beginning at verse 35. The eunuch is in his chariot. And he's reading the scriptures and he's confused. He doesn't know. Who is this man speaking about? And of course, Philip is with him. He's going to help him understand it. And they read Isaiah 53. And then in 35... Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And notice what is said, or not said rather, between 35 and 36. Because let me read 36. He says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now you tell me, how did he know how to ask that question? Or why did he ask that question? We have no record of what Philip told him, except for the fact that he preached unto him Jesus. Why would the eunuch ask, what hinders me to be baptized? It's simple, really. Because it's included in preaching Jesus. But then Philip says this, he knows that's not even enough. If thou believes with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, here's his confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after he said that, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized them. We emphasize confession, but the power is in the one who we confess. We emphasize baptism, but the power to save is in the one into whom we are baptized and by whose authority we do it, the Christ. It's the same. What do I mean by his authority? What did Jesus say? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. Mark 16:16. Baptism is how we call on His name. That's His authority. We call on that authority. Acts 2:38, Acts 22 and 16. But the power's in the blood, right? The power's in the blood? Yes. So how does this relate? Very good question. Very good question. Because Christ shed His blood in His death. We must contact the blood to be saved, absolutely. But without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission, Hebrews 9 and 22. The cleansing agent of salvation is the blood of Christ. It is not the water. Again, the water is the tool. But look at Revelation 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Absolutely. But the question is, how do we do that? Since the agent, since the blood of Christ is essential, we have to do it whatever it takes to that is required to contact that, right? And administer the agent. So how do we do it? It can't be physically, obviously. It's not some miracle. But look what Paul wrote to Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized unto His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. When we're baptized into His death where He shed His blood. Even more details come out in the book of John in chapter 19 and 34. He's there. His lifeless body is still hanging there. And a soldier, one of them, comes up with a spear and he pierces his side. And I want you to notice what comes out. Blood and water. That can't be just a coincidence. He told us that for a reason. So the only way, according to what the Lord said in His Word, the only way to contact His blood is by, in fact, baptism. We're not saved by hearing alone. We're not saved by belief only. We're not saved by confession only. We're not saved by repentance only. We're not saved by baptism only. But it is, in fact, part of salvation. Not because we made it up. Not because a council of some worldly government said the Church of Christ is going to say this. We don't have a headquarters. We're autonomous. No one tells Fairview Church of Christ how to worship or how to be saved or any of those things. There's no creeds. This is our creed. We don't believe in water salvation in the terms as they put it. We believe and give credit and glory to the source, our Father, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, who in fact gave us the Scriptures. And Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned." And if you and I believe that we were saved before baptism, because we just established today, or the Scriptures established today, that baptism is how we wash away our sins. If we believed before our sins were washed away that we were saved, we are following a different doctrine than this. And we have, in fact, been lied to. Salvation does not come before baptism. Jesus said, "Believes and is baptized, then shall be saved." It's a logical equation. And we need to reason together with this book about it. Why would Jesus give the command to be baptized if it were not essential? And he told us that it is essential. Why? Because it's how we contact his saving blood. When we obey his commandment of baptism, he separates us from the world, just like he separated Noah and his family from the wicked world. When we obey his commandment of baptism, he cleanses our sins, just like he cleansed Naaman from his leprosy. When we obey his commandment of baptism, he gives us spiritual sight, no longer walking in darkness, just like he gave sight to the man who was born blind. Friends, the water's just a tool. Why did he say immersion? You know what? That's not even the right question to ask, because it doesn't matter. He just said so. Plain and simple. And so, friends, this sermon today was twofold. Those of us who are Christians, who are in this body, this message needs to be preached to all of our community. To our loved ones, to our friends. Because there is a day of judgment that is coming. And those who have not complied the Scriptures to their lives, they will be judged according to this word. And if you're in here today and you have not been added to the body, maybe you've grown up in another man church. I was one of you. I know this is hard to hear, but it's the truth. Because it comes from God's Word, not because it's from me. And we pray that you will obey God's truth before it's everlasting too late. On the screen there is the plan of salvation that God has set forth to us. He's had this plan since He spoke the world to existence. We must hear God's Word. That's where we develop faith. That's how we know what to do. We must have the faith that pleases Him. Hebrews 6 and James 2, Paul says, faith without works is dead. Not works that we come up with or that we think that we can earn our way to heaven, but works of God. What He told us to do, the works of righteousness. And He told us to repent. We must repent of our sins, live for Him. We must confess Christ before others. And after that great confession, just like the eunuch that we read about in Acts chapter 8, we must be immersed into water to come in contact with the blood, Romans 6, to put on Christ, Galatians 3 and 27, to be saved, 1 Peter 3 and 21, to wash away our sins, Acts 22 and 16, to call on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and 16. And even all that is not going to save us if we don't live by faith unto death. We must obey the gospel until we draw our last breath. And so, friends, if there's anyone here today who has this spiritual need, you're outside the body of Christ, you're still in darkness, obey Him and be transferred into the light today. Please, please, if there's a spiritual need, come forward as we stand and sing.